Hello, dear friend. This is Keith Nolan, and I thank you for sharing with me in this brief meditation, which I'm calling Sharing the Light. May the words of my lips and the meditation of our hearts enlighten and inspire us to closer fellowship and joy in the Spirit of Christ, and to the certain hope of usefulness in his kingdom here and now, and in the world to come. Please pray with me. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the wonderful privilege of sharing your light in a dark world. We have to confess, Lord, that you have sometimes seemed to place your choicest people in the most difficult circumstances. And often it takes us many years to discover the reason why. Be pleased to open our minds and hearts to the truth you have to share with us today. In the name of our blessed Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. In recently dipping again into one of the Apostle Paul's helpful and inspiring New Testament letters, I was moved by the fact that he tells us that he's been given inside information concerning God's plan for including everybody in his divine grace. Those of both his originally chosen race and the so-called outsiders. It's all in the first 12 verses of Ephesians chapter 3. In God's new order, those who have never heard of God and those who have heard of him all their lives stand on what today we might call a level playing field. Both Israelites and non-Israelites can enjoy the same offer of God's unending grace, the same moment-by-moment divine help, and the same promises in Christ Jesus. Clearly, his message is offered to whoever will believe, receive, and make it a personal and permanent part of their everyday lives. The apostle told his first readers that this was his life's work. What a privilege! It's mine too, in a much more modest way, of course, and has been for more than 50 years. Not that I'm an Apostle Paul, or even an apostle. Yet I do long to help others to understand and respond affirmatively to the life-changing message of the indwelling Christ. And I long to do it as Paul did, in as non-sectarian a way as possible. And I discover that as I trust him, the Lord handles all the details, even in producing these brief meditations. What a gift of love this is. Even with all Paul's what we would today call academic qualifications and religious training, and he had plenty of both, the apostle earnestly believed that he was the least qualified of any of the many available Christians of his day. Nevertheless, the Lord himself saw to it that he was more than adequately equipped. You can be sure, says Paul, that it had nothing to do with my natural abilities. And he goes on to say, so here I am, preaching and writing about things that are way over my head, the inexhaustible riches and generosity of Christ. And he adds, all this is proceeding along lines planned all along by God and then executed in Christ Jesus. And he concludes by saying, when we trust in him, we are free to say whatever needs to be said, bold to go wherever we need to go. This is in the Message paraphrase version of the Bible. Of course, the apostle had received a specific, undeniable call by the risen Saviour himself, and not many of us have that kind of advantage. Nonetheless, we may all share what we know and what we receive by divine grace if we have a heart and mind to do so. I'm reminded of that great, and I imagine quite lovable, rebel, inventor and innovator, Benjamin Franklin, and the time he wanted to arouse the interest of his fellow citizens in street lighting in Philadelphia. He never used any of the methods we may have tried. He never hired a hall, either to discuss the matter or to announce his fundamentally different views. Neither did he preach about the need at every opportunity, and so exasperate the very people he wanted to influence. and he certainly never argued the merits of street lighting or tried to convert others to what we might call his more enlightened views through endlessly chattering about it. Instead, he simply hung a rather handsome lantern on a long bracket in front of his home. He polished the glass regularly and carefully trimmed and lit the wick every evening as dusk approached. The lamp silently helped his friends and neighbours to see the path ahead, and this in turn gave them a sense of comfort and security in the darkest hours. The result was amazing. Soon others began to place lights in front of their homes too, and it wasn't long before Philadelphia recognised the need for street lights. Why not ask the Lord to help you to be one more who will light up your home, your daily environment, or even perhaps in time, your neighbourhood with the light of life? Then just let him shine. Let your light shine today. It's amazing what can happen as we do this. As somebody once said, showing great insight, "I saw God today as a tearful child found comfort in your arms." I saw God today as an old man's face was lit with hope by the grasp of your hand. I saw God today as a smile etched the lips of the stranger you greeted on the street. I saw God today as you stopped in the midst of a busy schedule to listen to a burdened soul. I saw God today as I spent time with you, my friend, and though the hours have flown and night draws near, today we'll linger on with memories so dear, for as we shared each hour's array, I met God through you today. It's amazing what we can do as a mark of gratitude for God's many mercies to us, if we will, often without even opening our mouths. One last thing. Did you notice? Benjamin Franklin polished the glass of his lamp regularly and carefully trimmed and lit the wick each evening. It seems to me that there's another message for us right there, and quite a deep one. God bless you, dear friend, and thank you for sharing.